Good morning. Today's Daf and Shavuos is Daf Chaf. We start today the third parak of the Masechta. And now that we have gone over the hump of Tumas Mikdash, the first two parakim of the Masechta, so now the Masechta leads into its main topic of discussion, and that is the concepts and the ideas behind making an actual Shavuot itself. Making a Shavuot manifests itself in a number of different ways, and over the course of this morning, we're going to be going over the basic ideas of Shavuot Neder. So let's just go over a brief introduction. When we're talking about somebody making a Shavuot, so he binds himself by his words, so then now he is either bound to do something or not to do something. This is, in halacha, referred to as Shavuot Bitui. Shavuot Bitui is a term you're going to be hearing often in the course of this morning. And the idea behind Shavuot Bitui is that he either binds himself with a Shavuot to either do something or not to do something, to abstain from doing something. The Gemara is going to constantly use Kikar as an example, so we'll just use the terminology that the Gemara uses. So a person says that he's going to eat this loaf of bread, or a person says that he's not going to eat this loaf of bread, and he binds himself by a Shavuot. Now, obviously, by him either doing the opposite of what he says, not either. If he does the opposite of what he says, so then it'll be in violation of his Shavuot. So if he says, I'm going to eat this loaf of bread, and he does so using the proper formulation by making a Shavuot, not perfectly clear, by the way, that whether or not he has to introduce Shem Hashem in a Shavuot or not, but in any event, if he makes a Shavuot binding himself with a Shavuot to have to eat this loaf of bread, so failure to eat this loaf of bread now is going to result in the violation of his Shavuot. Now, that example that I just gave is a little bit tricky because at what point in time does he violate his Shavuot? So if he speaks to a specific loaf of bread, so then you can understand. But if he speaks about bread in general, so then it's a little bit difficult because when exactly are going to be the limits of his Shavuot, of the violation of his Shavuot? The other example, which is a little bit easier to discuss, is where he says that he's not going to eat this loaf of bread, and then he goes there and he eats it. So, and that's certainly a clear-cut example of a person violating Yeshua. And both of these examples that are given are clear in the Torah, meaning the Torah says, lahara o leitiv. Either he's going to do something good or so doing something bad. Eating is good, not eating is bad. You know, most of the time. Sometimes it's good not to eat. But anyway, that's the Torah. A person violates Yeshua, what is going to be the result of his violation? So if done b'shogig, if he does so inadvertently, so he's going to be chayv karbon olah v'yorid, which is why we got onto this topic of discussion, meaning the karbon olah v'yorid is what we introduced in the beginning of the Masechta. We noted that Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashav is one of the examples in the Torah where you have to bring a karbon olah v'yorid for inadvertent violation, and if a person goes against, if he violates his own Shavua, so he has to bring a karbon olah v'yorid, meaning not the regular karbon chatos, but rather karbon olah v'yorid. So if a person is inadvertently violating his Shavua, so he has to bring a karbon olah v'yorid. We're about to learn in the Mishnah, we're going to see this in just a moment. The Mishnah notes that there are two cases of Shavua, which we just outlined, Ochel and Lo Ochel, and there are two other cases as well. Even though the two other cases are not mentioned in the Torah, but there are also two other cases of Shavuot Bitui. And that is Achalti and Lo Achalti. I ate or I didn't eat. So the person now is making a statement regarding himself as to whether or not he either did something historically or he did not do something historically. Now, admittedly, this is different than the future, because in the future, he's binding himself to a commitment of either to do something or not to do something. In the past, so basically what he's talking about is something historical, meaning it either did or didn't happen. So it is a little bit interesting that we're filing this under Shavuot Bitui, but it does. It files under Shavuot Bitui. As opposed to, what's the contrast to that? Shavuot Shav. Shavuot Shav is when a person makes a Shavuot, which is patently absurd or ridiculous. You point to a stone and you say it's gold. You say that you're not going to sleep for 3 days. These are examples of Shavuot Shav, things that are patently ridiculous. So there the Torah, we're going to talk more about this at the end of today's daf, in the beginning of tomorrow's daf. There the Torah has a separate iser for Shavuot Shav. A person who makes an absurd statement and tries to affirm the statement with a Shavuot. So for such an individual, the person is going to get Malkus. Okay, that's a Shavuot Shav, but that's not Shavuot's Bitui. When you say that I either did or did not eat the loaf of bread, so it can easily be confused with a Shavuot Shav, but there's one notable difference. In the case of a Shavuot Shav, it's patently absurd. Everyone who hears it immediately recoils and realizes that's nonsense, what the person is saying. As opposed to a Shavuot Bitui, where it is self-expression, which you know, and not everyone else knows. Now, again, there's two options. Either you're telling the truth or you're not telling the truth. So if you're telling the truth, so then, admittedly, you didn't have to say it, but okay, but you did. If you're not telling the truth, it is not, it is not apparent, it's not obvious to everybody. It doesn't fall under the category of Shavuot Shavuot, it rather falls under the category of Shavuot Bitui. And again, the big difference is going to be, is that in a case of violation of Shavuot Bitui, if the person did it b'shogeg, he's chayv a karban. If a person violated Shavuot Shavuot, he's not chayv a karban. The karban olav yared is not for Shavuot Shavuot, it's only for Shavuot Bitui. Okay. One other thing I'd like to go over before we actually start the Mishnah inside, and that is a neder. Okay, neder, which is obviously very similar to Shavuot. The neder person says that this is asr to me, and he does so b'lashon neder. So under those circumstances, now the object is going to be asr to him via neder. Now neder and shvuah are obviously very similar to one another, meaning that when you make a shvuah saying I'm not going to eat this, or when you make a neder saying that this loaf of bread is asr to me, so the result is pretty much the same, meaning now you can't eat it based on the words that you're saying. So obviously neder and shvuah are very similar to one another. So is there a way to outline in detail fundamental differences between Shavuot and Neder? In today's daf, we're going to be talking extensively about differences between Shavuot and Neder. There are two ways to fundamentally outline differences between the two. One, of course, is karban, meaning that you're only going to be chayv karban olav yared on the violation of a Shavuot. Bishogig, of course, but that's one fundamental difference, as opposed to a neder. When you violate your neder b'shogeg, you're not going to be bringing a karban olav yored. It's only for a shvuah, not a neder. But that is a fundamental difference. But that's just in terms of a halacha. How about just definitionally? Is there a way to give a fundamental difference between shvuah and neder? So the round in the beginning of Masechta Nedarim says, yeah, even from a conceptual standpoint, from an analysis standpoint, you could say the following. Then you can't. The Ron says the following: that when we're talking about a shvuah is an iser gavra, meaning you're going to see every time we talk about a shvuah, the focus is going to be on the individual. I'm going to eat. I'm not going to eat. So the shvuah is really on the individual, as opposed to a neder. A neder really is more on the object. When we speak in terms of nedarim, so the language that's going to be employed is this loaf of bread is going to be asur to me, or I'm not getting benefit from your property. So the neder usually is going on the object, not on the individual. Okay, so basically an iser chefza versus an iser gavra is how the Ron outlines and details the analytical difference between shvuah versus neder. Okay, so with all that stated, so the three basic concepts that we have to keep in mind as we enter now into the third parak of shvuas is the definition of shvuas bitui versus shvuas shah versus nedar. And again, as we see over the course of today's daf, it's important to keep everything nice and organized. We'll see this today and tomorrow. Okay, we enter into the world of Shavuos. We start with the Mishnah. We're on the bottom of Yud Tesamid Beis. We're beginning the third parak. Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba. There are two cases in the Torah, which actually turns into four cases. Shavuos She'ochel V'Shelo Ochel. So the two cases mentioned in the Torah is either that I'm going to eat or I'm not going to eat. Those are Mefurish B'Torah. Those are explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Rashi brings down Lahara Olahitiv, the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Hay, where the Torah outlines that in the case of a shogeg violation of the shvuah, he has to bring a karban olav yared. So those are the cases where mefurish. And then on top of that, achalti v'shelo achalti, two more cases which are not explicitly mentioned in the Torah, but in other words, talking about the past. And Rabbi Akiva later on in this perek is going to learn out, based on drashas, that this also is to be included in the concept of shvuas bitui. The Mishnah goes on. Shvuah shelo achal v'achal kol shu chayav. Div Rabbi Akiva. Now, a person, let's say, makes a shvuah and he says that he is not going to eat something. And then he eats. How much does he have to eat in order to violate his shvuah? So Rabbi Akiva says kol shu, any amount. Meaning that there is no shear. And generally speaking, when we're talking about an isser, we're talking about the isser of a kezayis. But yet, according to Rabbi Akiva, when a person violates a shvuah, something which is not the Torah doesn't prohibit, but he himself prohibits, meaning, of course, the Torah gives him the power to prohibit, but in other words, as opposed to an objective prohibition in the Torah, so he himself now creates this prohibition for himself. So according to Rabbi Akiva, he's going to be chayiv, even if he eats a kol shu. So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, eichem atzinim ba'ochel, kol shu shu chayiv, shezeh chayiv. So the Chachamim said, Rabbi Akiva, where does kol shu come from? Kol shu is not a recognized amount. So Amalem Rabbi Akiva, v'chi heichem atzinim b'midabra mevi karban, shezeh medabra mevi karban. To which Rabbi Akiva says, well, I don't understand. This is unusual. This issur is unusual. Let's consider. What is creating the issur over here? Dibur. Dibur is creating the issur. And furthermore, says Rabbi Akiva, if you violate your shvuah, what do you have to do? You have to bring a karban. It's unusual. You're going to speak, and because you said something now, you're going to bring a karban? Meaning, generally speaking, when does a person bring a karban? When he violates an issur in the Torah, begufo. You actively do something to violate the Torah. Here you're going to be speaking, and because now you're going to be speaking, you're going to, under certain circumstances, you're going to bring a karban. So you see that this is extraordinarily unusual. So being that it's unusual, so therefore you're going to be chayev on a shvua, even if you eat a mashu. Okay, what does one point have to do with the next point? Meaning, how do we understand Rabbi Kiva's argument over here? You got to bring a karban, therefore it's a mashu. So you take a look at Rashi over here. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Medabra mevi karban. Rashi writes bishvil bitul diburo. So in other words, Rashi says really what the focus is on is as follows: you created for yourself an isser, and now you said you're not going to eat this. So now the moment you eat any amount of it, you're mevatel your dibur. In other words, you went against what you claim, what you committed yourself to. V'kevim demishum bitul diburu. Af ze bito diburo. Sha'omer lo achel data lesser atzma b'chol shehu. So according to Rashi, what it really seems like is that, truth be told, is that the karban argument is not really the key argument of Rabbi Akiva. The key argument of Rabbi Akiva is your das. You were intent on asering. How much were you intent on asering? Any amount. And from Rashi's standpoint, why is Rabbi Akiva introducing the word karban over here? It's a fair question. I'm not sure. But the real key component, according to Rashi, is this idea that since I'm creating the Isser through my own personal commitment, so really my true intent is I'm not eating any amount. Meaning, Kezias is an Isser, is a shear that the Torah gives when the Torah says, don't eat Nevela. How much Nevela? Well, we know. Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, so the shear is a Kezias. But over here, this is based on your own personal commitment. So what Rabbi Kiva is arguing is, if that's the case, if this is a personal commitment, so therefore the shear is a Kol Shehu. And then what will the Chachamim counter? Well, we don't know because the Mishnah doesn't tell us. But if we can suggest, so what the Chachamim will say is, okay, of course it's based on a personal commitment. But generally speaking, when a person makes a personal commitment and he says he's not going to eat, what does Achila constitute in the Torah? Meaning, Kola Torah Kula, what is Achila? Achila is a Kezias. So presumably what the person asked on upon himself is only when he gets to the Shear of a Kezias. Maybe that's what the Chachamim would counter. But anyway, machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, how much a person needs to eat in order to properly violate his shvur. So the according to Rabbi Kiva, it's a kol shehu. According to the Chachamim, it's a kezayis. Yeah.
Maybe it's Rabbi Akiva is more machmir because you're swearing.
Right.
You're swearing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're lying. You're bitten almost on Mikadev. So.
Right, but it's not a bad shavua. Meaning, in general, I guess we can ask the question: is it good to make shavuas in general? So the pasuk mishle says, well, the pasuk mishle really talks about nedarim, but tov shelo tidur. Right. In other words, you're right. It's generally speaking not good to make nedarim, not good to make shavuas. But in other words, it's not objectively, it's not bad. You just simply you don't want to eat this loaf of bread. You need a little bit more motivation incentive. You make a shvuah. Okay? And then how much of it now do you have to eat in order to violate your shvuah? Okay, so that's what Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim are arguing. And again, according to Rashi, what is motivating Rabbi Kiva is the fact that this is a personal commitment, not subject to the normal rules of achila. We start with the Gemara, Lamemra Disha Ochel de Achila Mashma. Now, you say the word Ochel, and it sounds like I'm going to eat. And it's such a reasonable suggestion. That is what it sounds like. It sounds like you're going to eat something. Vermino, the problem, of course, is that we have a Mishnah. I'll tell you what. Let's call it a Braisa. It very well may be a Mishnah also, but the Gemara later on is going to call it a Braisa, so we'll call it a Braisa. The Braisa says like this. There are three ways that a person can make a Shvua where through the Shvua he's not going to be eating his friend's food. Shvua lo achel lecha. Okay, the first one sounds perfectly clear, right? I'm giving this context because the Gemara in just a moment will as well. The person kind of invites me over to his house, and whatever, either with emotion, without emotion, I simply say no thank you. And then he doesn't like my no thank you, and he insists, and I say shvua shelo ochel. So the first language of the Braise is very clear. I'm bound now by a shvua that I'm not eating your food. Fine. Shvua she'ochel lecha. Second language of the Braisa. A shvua of the food, of your food. Not clear exactly what that means, but as we're going to see in just a second, the Braisa clearly understands this to mean, I'm not eating your food. Even though the language is shvua she'ochel lecha. Hold that thought. Let's finish the Braisa. Lo shvua she'lo ochel lecha. In the third shvua, so you throw out a couple of negatives, a double negative. I understand it's confusing, but basically, right? Whatever is not yours is not going to be usher to me. Okay, now let's just invert that. What is it? So inferentially, what does that mean? It means your food I ain't touching. The other food is good, not your food. Now Amar Abai, so I'm sorry, ochalcha usher. So for all three of these statements, it's going to be usher. Our focus, of course, is on statement number two of the Braisa. Statement number two of the Braisa is, right, Shvua she'ochelecha. And the Braisa clearly concludes that creates an Isser. Well, what do you mean? Aren't you binding yourself by a Shvua that you are going to eat? And why would the Braisa say that it's Isser? And then really the question goes back on our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that when you make a Shvua of Ochel, that means that you're going to eat, not the opposite. So Amar Abai, so Abai says, okay, so we could suggest as follows. The Olam Dachino Mashma, Achino Mashma. Truth of the matter is, when you say the word Ochel, it's the positive. I'm going to eat. However, Lokasha Kam in Misarvim Bo Lechol, Kan Bishain Misarvim Bo Lechol. But then the Gemara goes on to explain, Abai goes on to explain, as for the steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa, there's no steer whatsoever. As in so many times, you have to look at the context. Context really speaks a lot to what you mean. If nobody is nudging you, and you say, see this loaf of bread, I'm binding myself by shvua that I'm going to eat it, using the word ochel. Good. So, kipshuta, what you mean is that you're going to eat it. However, if let's say somebody's inviting you to come over and you're saying no, and he invites you again and you say no, and finally he's just not getting the hint. You know, he doesn't understand that when you're saying no, you actually mean no. You're not being polite. You're not being modest. You really mean no. So then you say, finally, enough is enough already. And finally you say, shvua ochel lecha. I'm now enough already. I'm making a shvua of your food. And even though you say the word ochel, contextually what it really means is that I'm answering myself through a shvua, that food of yours. So there, the context now is going to redefine what the word ochel means. It means I'm not eating your food. The Gemara spells all this out. Masnisa b'shein misarvin. I'm sorry, misarvin b'lecha. Masnisa b'shein misarvin b'lecha. Braisa b'misarvin b'lecha. V'kamar. What the person really means is lo achilna v'lo achilna deka mishtava hachi kamar shvua shelo ochel. Okay, and really what is meant is that shvua that I'm not going to be eating your food, even though he says the word ochel, he really means your food to me is going to be usher via a shvua. Okay, so that's one pshat. Now making a distinction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Rav Ashi Amar Tani Shvua She'i Ochel Lecha. Now Rav Ashi says, let's give a somewhat more objective pshat in the Braisa. Meaning, according to Abaye, the difference between the Braisa and the Mishnah is context. And that's a yesod, and that's an important yesod. But what Rav Ashi is going to do is says that even without context, we can answer the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa, but Rav Ashi says, but we're going to have to edit the Braisa just a little bit. We're going to add one word. Now it's an important word. E ochel. Now that's a very important word, meaning if it was just for the word ochel, that means I am going to eat. But by adding the word e, it means just the opposite, I'm not going to eat. But the Gemara says, Yachim ala memra. Okay, so Rav Ashi, I understand what you did, but then we are without a chiddush. Meaning that the second case now of the Braisa is, if a person says to another, E ochel, I'm not eating your food, so that means that he's not eating your food, but it's not a chiddush, it's pashut. So the Gemara says, "Now ma'u detei malishna di itkile le, kamash malan." Gemara has an interesting havamina. When a person says "e ochel," what is that word "e"? In other words, phonetically, it basically is the beginning of the word "ochel." I understand different nakudos, but it could be interpreted as just simply a stutter. In other words, instead of saying the word "ochel" clearly, what the person says is "e ochel," meaning it could have been interpreted as just simply a stutter. The Gemara says the Chiddush of the Braisa is no. When the person articulates and he says, "I ochel," we understand that as two separate words, not just simply a stuttering, not just tripping over his words, like the Gemara just suggested, but rather what he really means is, "I'm not going to eat your food." That's the Chiddush according to Rav Ashi. Okay. We're starting now on Chaf Amud Aleph. We're just towards the top of the Amud, at the two dots, Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa now is going to define for us. As I mentioned in the beginning of the shiur today, there's a Shvuah, there's a Neder. I noticed some basic differences between a Shvuah and a Neder. What we're going about to learn right now is another possible difference between a Shvuah and a Neder. Now, I say possible because it's going to be subject to a major machlokas. Okay, let me first introduce this conceptually, and then we'll see this inside. When it comes to Nedarim, so we learned in Masechta Nedarim time and again that Nedarim is a way in which I'm going to offer the object onto me. Now, I can either say simply, that item is also to me, or what I could do is a concept called Hatfasa. What's Hatfasa? Hatfasa is that this item is also to me through a Neder, and I can point to now the second item and say, this item will be also to me, like this item is also to me. And your Matfis, you're basically now comparing this item to this item, and just like this item becomes also to me, so to this item it can as well. Now, in terms of Nedarim, Hatfasa works, that's a given. That's axiomatic to Nedarim. Now, but when it comes to Nedarim, it only works when the first item is usher to me through a Neder. Meaning, if let's say the first item is a carbon. Carbon's a perfect example. A carbon becomes usher to me through a Neder. Meaning, by me being makdish this animal, the first animal becomes usher to me. And then I point to a food and I say, this food is going to be usher to me just like the carbon is. That's a perfect illustration of Hatfasa. I made this usher to me just like this was usher to me. If, however, I point to Nevela and I say, this is usher to me like this is usher to me, that's not a good example of Hatfasa. The Nevela is usher to me, but not through a Neder, because the Torah says Nevela is usher. So Hatfasa does not work through an Isser. Hatfasa only works with a Dover HaNador. Okay. Does Hatfasa work through Shvuah? Okay, that's our big topic for today. That's what the Gemara is going to be discussing. Stay tuned. That is our discussion. Tana Rabbanan, Miftah Shvuah. If you, when you articulate a Shvuah, you use the word Miftah, right? You're going to hear that word time and again, right? Because it's called Shvuah's Bitui. So if you use the word Miftah itself to express a Shvuah, so by all means, that is a Shvuah. What about Isser? You use the word Isser, so Shvuah. So the Braisa says, well, that also qualifies as a Shvuah. But then the Braisa confuses us. Isser Isar, what is the Isser created through the word Isar? Imata Omer Isser Shvuah Chayev V'im Lav Pater. So if you say that Isser is a Shvuah, so then you're going to be Chayev, and if you don't say it's going to be an Isser, so then it's going to create an Isser, so then you're going to be Pater. Now you read the Braisa, I encourage you, read it again. It is confusing. It's obviously confusing. So, and the Gemara reacts to the Braisa. Imata Omer Isser Shvuah. What does that mean if you're saying that the word Isar creates a Shvuah? Amart is a Shvuah. The line previous in the Braisa said that the word Isar is a Shvuah. So how can the Braisa then say, oh, and you know, if, what do you mean if? The Braisa said the word Isar creates a Shvuah. Ava Amart Isar Shvuahu. Amar Abaye. So again, we're now looking to just give simple pshat in the Braisa. So we start off with Abaye. Hachikamer, Miftah Shvuah. Now, Miftah, again, that language clearly represents a Shvuah. And if I usher something using the word Miftah, I'm creating a Shvuah. Clear. Isser, Mitfis B'Shvuah. So, when I say the word Isar, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be Matfis B'Shvuah. Now, does that work? That's the next part of the Braisa. The next part of the Braisa is asking the question, does that work? Isser Isar. Now, what is the Isser created through Isar? So, Imata Omer, Mitzvah B'Shvuah, Kemotzi Shvuah, Mipiv Dam Eichayev, V'im La Potter. The Braitzah then asked the question, if you can be Matfis through a Shvuah, so then it creates an Isser. And if you can't be Matfis through a Shvuah, so then it doesn't create the Isser. Now, what I just offered over here in terms of the Gemara is Pshat according to Rashi. It is strange, and Tosos notes this as well, that the Braisa leaves an open-ended question. That's not stylistically the way Braisas normally work. The Braisa doesn't just throw out a question and just like leave it open-ended. But This is the way Rashi's presenting the Gemara. This is the way I'm presenting the Gemara. Right, that's my in terms of the daf, generally speaking, start with Rashi and then go from there. So, what the Braisa now is asking is, can a person do a hatfasa with a shvua? Meaning, that's what the person is trying to accomplish. Does it work? Braisa says, basically, I don't know. Now, what the Gemara now is going to do is, the Braisa established that when you use the word mifta, that is a shvua. How do I know that? So the Gemara goes through a couple of rounds of how we know that. O nefesh ki seshaval levate bisfasayim. So it's a pasuk, but the Gemara says iser nami. As much as you're confident that the word mifta is a shvua, what about the word iser? Dechsiv kol neder v'chol shvuas isar. Okay, I have the word isar right next to the word shvua. Isn't isar also a shvua? So ela mimai di iser mitvas b'shvua hu dechsiv. So the Gemara says, no, Isar is a hatfasa. How do I know that? Because, asra Isar al-Nafsha bishvua. So the Gemara says, or a person tries to create an Isar on himself with a shvua. So it sounds like what he's trying to do is be matfis using the word Isar. So the Gemara says, miftanami. Wa haksiv, l'chol sher yifta adam bishvua. So I could also point to another pasuk, also, same syntax where you're making a bitui with a shvua, meaning it sounds like we're doing a tfasa. Elam Rabbi, so this is now round three. Mifta shvua mehachavim ayosi eli ish unedareha aleha o mifta svasa asher asra al nafsha. When the Torah describes a wife going into the marriage with either nedarim or shvuas, it says miftas faseha, the articulation of her lips, asher asral nasha, the creation, she created isra for herself. Meaning, how did she create the isra for herself? Bitui, meaning through articulation. So you see the word mifta over here is a clear articulation of a shvua. Vilu shvua lo kamar, Gemara just simply notes. It doesn't use the word shvua over there. B'may asra atzma, b'mifta. How did she create isra through herself? She created through bitui. So, what do we have right now? According to Abaye, the fundamental difference between mifta versus isar. The word mifta is a clear articulation of a shvua. If a person makes a shvua using the word mifta, that's bitui, that's expression, that creates a shvua. When a person tries to create isar, what he's trying to do is he's trying to be matvis b'shvua. Just like this item is asur to me, this item too is going to be asur to me. Now again, when it comes to nedarim, so hatfasa works. That's axiomatic. Does it also work for shvua as well? The Braisa raises the question. The Braisa doesn't give a clear-cut answer, but at least the Braisa entertains the possibility that hatfasa works even for shvua as well. Rava Amar, la'olam emelcha mitvas b'shvua lav kemosi shvua mipiv dami. Rava is of the opinion that hatfasa simply does not work by shvua, period. There's nothing to even entertain. There's no discussion. According to Rava, hatfasa is a concept strictly limited to nedarim. It does not apply to shvua. V'hachi kamar. Now, if that's your starting point, so now let's go back to the Braisa, and now Rava's going to have to say pshan the Braisa. Mifta shvua. Mifta is a shvua, period. Iser nami shvua. Iser also is a shvua, period. Now, asrei de iser. So what is the... What's the net result of saying the word isar? So he tila kasa be neder l'shvua. Hotzia b'lashon neder neder. B'lashon shvua shvua. So because the word isar finds itself in the Torah between both nedarim and shvua, so what does that do? It makes the word isar somewhat amorphous. Isar can sometimes generate a neder. Isar can sometimes generate shvua. If you're using the language of shvua, so then it's generating a shvua. If you're using the language of neder, it generates a neder. Now again, as I pointed out in the beginning of the shiur today, what's the difference? In other words, what's the big deal? Again, conceptually, it's a similar idea to one another. With articulation, you're making something else to you. The big difference halachically, of course, is that if you're using a shvua and you violate it, you're b'shogeg, you're chayv karban. If you're making a neder and you violate it b'shogeg, you're not chayv karban. So of course, karban is going to be the big difference whether it's a neder or shvua. What the Braisa is saying according to Rava is that the word Isar is somewhat amorphous. Therefore, the context is going to tell us whether or not it was a Shvur or whether it was a Neder. How is the context going to tell us? So as I pointed out in the beginning of the Shir today, if you're focusing on you, I'm not going to eat this, so that's more of a Shvua. If you're focusing on the object, that's more of a Neder. If you're using the word Isar, it can go either way, depending on which way you express it. According to Rava, Hadfasa simply does not work when it comes to Shvua. So that, therefore, the Braisa is not talking about Hadfasa. That's not the topic of the Braisa's discussion. And then, just going back to the Gemara, just wrapping up Rava's point, Heichni Tilu, the Imbeis Isar Nedara, O Asra Isar Al Nafsha, Bishvua. You see the word Isar put right between Neder and Shvua. Teaching us that, according to Rava, the Braisa now teaching us is that the term Isar is amorphous, could be a Shvua, could be a Neder, context will determine, and again, the big difference is going to be whether or not you're Chayva Karban or not Chayva Karban. Azdu L'tamayu. Now the Gemara sets ourselves up for the Machlokes between Abai and Rava. Basically, we have this Braisa, really difficult Braisa. Abai gave a pshat, Rava gave a pshat. What is really behind Abai and Rava? The Gemara now spells it out. De'it mar mafis b'shvua. You try to create a hadfasa through a shvua. Abai amar kemotzi shvua mipiv dami. Rava amar lav kemotzi shvua mipiv dami. And this is really the Machlokes between Abai and Rava. Can I create a hadfasa through a shvua? Hadfasa through Nedarim? Absolutely. Hadfasa through Shvua, Machlok is now Abai and Rava. Rava says it doesn't work, and Abai says it does work. And again, just a little bit of better understanding of Rava, what's behind the sheet of Rava, like we said in the beginning also. The fundamental difference, the conceptual difference between Nedarim and Shvua, Nedarim is going on the object, Shvua is going on the individual. If something is usher to me via Neder, meaning a carbon, and I say this item should be like this item, and I'm using it within Nedarim, makes perfect sense. Just like this item is also to me, through a Neder, I want to also this item as well. But Shvua is on me. Shvua is not on the item. So when I'm trying to create a Hadfasa through a Shvua, it doesn't sound right. I'm ushering this item, meaning this item is also to me, but the focus is really me. This item should be like this item. I guess you could make the argument of, well, if this is us to me, this also is us to me. But if the key element of Shua is that's really me personally talking, so then I'm not, the comparison between this item and this item doesn't really ring true. That perhaps a somewhat better understanding of Rava. In any event now, does that fussle work by Shua? Machlokas, between Rava and Abai. Meisvei. Gemara challenges with the Braisa. Ezu Isar Amar B'Torah. What is Isar that the Torah prohibits? Hamar Arai Elai Shalom Ochal Basar V'Shalom Shayayin. If a person says that I'm not going to eat meat or I'm not going to drink wine, Kiyom Shemes Bo Aviv, Kiyom Shemes Bo Ploni, Kiyom Shenerak Bo Gedalia Ben Achikam, Kiyom Shera Yerushalayim B'Churbana, so Asar. So numerous examples of I'm not eating meat, just like I committed to not eat meat on that given day. A number of examples that are given, a yurtzeit of one's father, a yurtzeit of any individual in particular, the day that Gedalia ben Achikam was killed, or the day that I saw Yerushalayim in Churban. Now, v'amar Shmuel, let's just make the necessary condition, v'hu shenadar uva me'oso yom. Now, of course, this language is only going to be working where I'm ushering this day just like that day is usher. Of course, it's only going to work if the primary day is already usher to you, meaning the yurtzeit, the day that you saw Churban Yerushalayim, the day Achikam ben Gedalia was killed. So if I'm trying to now create a comparative day of Isser, it's only, of course, going to work if the first day was already usher to me. Now, Bishlam ala Abaye bid matfis ben neder, neder matfis b'shvua shvua. Now, for Abaye's standpoint, so what did we just see? A concept of hatfasa, which works both by Nedarim and by Shvua, and that fits in well with Abaye. However, according to Rava, Ella Rava Kasha, Rava's starting point is Hadfasa does not work by Shvua. So, Amalecha Rava Tritzvei Machi. So Rava will say, okay, meaning my starting point is that Hadfasa does not work by Shvua. And now, as far as the Braisa is concerned, here's Pshat in the Braisa. Ezu iser neder ha'amar b'Torah. As far as the Brisa is concerned, the Brisa is not talking about the general isar, which, as we pointed out, is amorphous. Could be shvua, could be neder. That's not what the Brisa is talking about. What the Brisa is talking about is exclusively neder. So ezu and iser neder amar b'Torah amar alai shelo ochal basav shelo shayin kiyom shemeis ba'aviv kiyom shenerag bo ploni etc. v'amar shmo v'hu shenador uvam eos hayom. Okay. So in other words, what Rava will tell you simply, the Brisa is only talking about Nedarim, the Brisa is not talking about Shvua, Hatfasa simply doesn't work by Shvua. Okay, before we go on in the Gemara, just a couple points to take into consideration. So first of all, there's a minug, there's an old minug of fasting on a Yahrzeit. Okay, you find the source of the minug right here from this Gemara. I mean, the Gemara is over here, the Gemara is in the same Gemara is in Nedarim as well. This idea that that one should fast on the yahrzeit of a parent, and you know, in general, let's leave right now as parents. So there's an old thing to do so, and you see so over here. What the Brisa is actually describing is that a person accepts upon himself via neder, according to Rava, via neder that he's not going to be fasting on the yahrzeit of his parent. So, but anyway, but you find the minhag over here. Right. So effectively, that's an excellent point. In other words, that's why for the Brisa, it sounds a little bit easier for Abaye. Right. For Rava, it's strictly Nedarim, and basically now you're saying that the food on that day is asur to me. Agreed. So the cases in the Brisa, for the most part, are easy to understand. Meaning, there's no issur to fast on the yahrzeit site. It's a minhag. I accept it upon myself, fine. Same thing with for your side of any individual. Again, there's no iser to eat, but you accept upon yourself. And Chorban Yerushalayim, again, there's no iser to eat when you see the Chorban, but you're so stressed, you're so distraught, so you take it upon yourself that you're not going to eat. Good. The day of the death of Gedaliah ben Achikam, this one's a tricky one. The day of the death of Gedaliah ben Achikam, so we know historically, Gedaliah ben Achikam was the last governing body of Yerushalayim after Chorban Bayis Rishon. So there was no longer a melech, but what Nebuchadnezzar did is that he appointed a Jewish governor over Yerushalayim, and that was Gedaliah ben Achikam. And unfortunately, what do? We killed him. So as a result of this, this really was the makeh b'patash, so to say, of the churban of Chorban Bayis Rishon, and so a public fast was instituted commemorating the death, the murder of Gedaliah ben Achikam. When do we fast? So the third day of Tishrei, meaning right after Rosh Hashanah. Okay, not perfectly clear exactly when he was killed. He was killed either on the third day of Tishrei or he was killed on Rosh Hashanah itself. And it was just pushed off to the third day of Tishrei. But whatever the case is, it's a public fast day. It is a strange example given by the Brisa. Because what's the point of the Brisa? These are days in which we're not obligated to fast and we take it upon ourselves to fast. Tzom Gedaliah, we're obligated to fast, meaning it's a din, it's a halacha that we have to fast. And it's a little bit strange that the Brisa says, well, if I accept upon myself another day, just like the day of Gedaliah ben Achikam, as we point out in the beginning of the shir, the basic rule of Hatfasa is that it only works when I'm comparing it to something that's also to me via neder. The Tzom Gedaliah is not your neder. Okay. So it is strange. You see Rashi over here, see Tosas over here. Second Tosas on the Amud. So they're obviously bothered by that. One solution, this is from Tosos right here, is that that Tzom Gedaliah is a din derabbanan, and the neder that you're creating creates an issur d'oraisa. Okay, again, a lot of this has to be explained a lot better and a lot more, but just right now I'm just raising awareness to the problem of the one of the examples being Tzom Gedaliah. Okay, let's continue now in the Gemara. The Gemara says, My taima amakra ish kiyidor neder l'Hashem ashi yador b'davar hanador. So the Gemara says, kiyam shemes bo aviv pshita. The Gemara says, accepting upon yourself not to eat for the yahrzeit. So the Gemara says, that's pasha, that's obvious. So the Gemara says, kiyom shenerag bo gedayim enachikam itzter echlei.
So
So really, the truth of the matter is, the Gemara is bothered by the problem. It shouldn't qualify as hatfasa because it's not davar hanadur. So the Gemara says, kamash malan. Ah, the chiddush is, it does work. Now again, how does it work? So I already pointed to the Tosfos. Rashi also addresses this to a certain degree. But again, the point being, hadfasa does work even for the day of Gedai ben Achika. Okay, where do we stand right now in the Gemara? So over the course of today's daf, we were discussing a shvua primarily is articulated using the word bitui, right? Which again, we keep calling a shvua bitui, so it's good. Consistent. If a person uses the word isar, so what is meant with the word isar? So not perfectly clear. According to Abaye, isar is creating a hatfasa. Does that mean that one can make a hatfasa with a shvua? According to Abaye, yes. Again, even though that's strange, because Abraisa, at the beginning of our shir today, kind of raised the question and didn't give a straightforward answer. But according to Abaye, yes. Rava fundamentally disagrees. Rava says, no. Hatfasa works when you're trying to make a neder. Through hatfasa. The carbon's also to me. This item should be also to me like the carbon. That works. Hatfasa by neder works. Hatfasa by shvua does not work according to Rava. And as the Gemara pointed out in the Ba'am of Chafa Maralf, this is really a fundamental debate between Abai and Rava. Abai says hatfasa works by shvua and Rava says it does not. We just went through a Braisa together. The Braisa seems to be supportive of Abaye. Rava will tell you the Braisa is not talking about shvua. The Braisa is only talking about nedarim. Let's go a little bit further today. Va'af Rav Yochanan several alaha de Rava. Rav Yochanan agrees as well. Dechi asa Rava nam Rav Yochanan mevate lo ochalach iser lo ochalach shvua. If I use the word mifta, if I use the word iser, it speaks to a shvua, meaning not a hatfasa through a shvua, but a direct shvua. He asa Rav Dimi am Rav Yochanan ochav lo ochal sheker. If I commit myself to a shvua, either that I will eat or I will not eat, and I violate it, that qualifies as shvua sheker. Vazarte me'acha, where's the pasuk that tells me that I violated lo tishbu b'shmi l'shaker? The Torah tells us that you're not allowed to make a shvua sheker. Now, achalti v'lo achalti, shav. If I say I did or I did not eat, so that qualifies as a shvua shav. Vazarte me'acha lo sisa Hashem Hashem l'kecha l'shav. Third of the Aseres Adibros. Konamos, over below Yachel Devaro. And then another category of Konam, where I'm making something usher to me like a carbon. That's a neder. And the violation of that comes from Lo Yachel Devaro. So the Gemara says, Meisvei. Shav v'sheker echad hein. Shav and sheker are one in the same, says the Braisa. My love, mi deshav l'shavar av sheker nami l'shavar. Now, if shav is going on the past, so sheker is also going on the past. Ama achalti v'lo achalti sheker hu. So you see that achalti and lo achalti falls under the category of sheker. So midir ya hakadisa v'hakadisa. The Gemara says no. No. Shav is going on the past. Sheker is going on the future. My davar echad hein. Dibidibur echad nemru. And as far as the Braisa is saying davar echad, it means dibur echad. Kedetanya. Braisa we're all familiar with. Zachor v'shamor bidibur echad nemru. Zachar v'shabar was said by Kadosh Baruch Hu in one word. Masha'in yachol apel adaber, masha'in ha'ozni yachol lishmoa. Now, as physical entities, we can't do that. We can't say Zachar Shamar simultaneously. We also can't hear it simultaneously. Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, omnipotent, he can handle that. So, bishlam ha'asim b'dibur echan emru k'drav adaba ava damar v'adaba ava nashim chayavs b'kidosh ha'yam dvar Torah. Amakar zachar v'shamar kol sheyeshna b'shmir, yeshna b'zachira. V'hani nishay hol v'yisna b'shmir, yisna unami b'zachira. To which the Gemara says, as far as zachar v'shamar is concerned, what's the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu molding it into one? Gemara says, we know, it's obvious. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is accomplishing is putting women on par with men when it comes to both the lo saseh and the essay regarding Shabbos. Lo saseh, they're already on par with men. Meaning, for the lo saseh, women are just as responsible and liable for lo saseh as men are. What about essay shazman grama? What about time bound mitzvahs? Women are putter. So when it comes to Shabbos, by the Torah now, having zachar v'shamar b'dibur echad, so they are just as bound by the essays of Shabbos as they are by the lo saseh of Shabbos. So that means that an essay of Shabbos, for example, Kiddush, I mean, I'm not sure if I can come up with another example, but I don't have to. The Gemara gives us Kiddush. So Kiddush, for example, the essay of Shabbos, So women are as obligated as men. Women are chayev mida araisa in Kiddush Hayom, just like men are chayev in Kiddush Hayom. So the Gemara says, so I understand what's being accomplished by Shabbos, Zachar, v'Shabbos being on par with one another. What do we gain by having Shav and Sheker be on par with one another? So we'll put a pause over here in the Gemara, hold on this question, and tomorrow we're going to respond to this question. Okay, let's just quickly recap. Today we introduced ourselves to the third parak of the Masechta. We spoke out in the Mishnah the four different cases of Shavuah Sheker, Shavuah Bitui. How much does a person need to eat in order to be chayv? Machlokas Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva says a kolshu. The Chachamim say kezayis. We tried earlier to say pshat in the machlokas in Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. And then in the course of the Gemara, the first discussion was, when you say the word ochel, does it mean you are binding yourself to eat or just the opposite? You're not going to eat. Various understandings amongst the Amoraim, that where the Braisa says that ochel means I'm not going to eat, where the Mishnah clearly disagrees. Abaye and Ravashi offer different pshatim in terms of how to understand that. And then for the rest of today, we discuss the word mifta, clear cut shvua, the word isar. So according to Abaye, it's an attempt to be matvis in a shvua. According to Rava, no, the word isar is amorphous. It can mean shvua, it can mean neder. It depends on how you view it contextually. Big machlokas in today's daf, whether hatfasa works by shvua. Rava says it does not. Abaye says it does. We try to offer a pshat over there in that machlokas between Abaye and Rava. And then finally, definitions in terms of what is a shvua sheker versus what is a shvua shav. The Torah equates the two. And tomorrow we'll address the question of what do we gain by the Torah equating a shvua sheker and a shvua shav.